Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Darker Side podcast, a podcast where we delve into the darker side of our existences. The morbid, the macabre, the spooky, and the absurd are all fair game as we discuss murders, UFOs, cryptids, creepypasta, and the paranormal. I'm your host, David Pottle, and as always, my co-host, Forrest Smith.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
How are you tonight, Forrest?
I'm stoned as fuck right now.
Having a good time, though, right?
Hell yeah.
Good. We have a special guest here today, the beautiful and wonderful and super, super wicked smart.
Oh, yeah.
Rachel Pottle.
Rachel Pottle.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey. So happy to have you on here.
She's so pretty. Thanks for having me. She's so pretty. I made her my wife.
Very pretty.
Yeah, you're just saying that because I am your wife.
I love you, babes.
I love you, too.
Oh.
Thanks for coming to the darker side with us, sitting here. You know, you've listened to a couple of our episodes.
Sure have.
Welcome.
She likes the dark stuff too.
She's
the horror movie person in this house. I'm being forced to watch these movies because of this podcast, but she's the one. She's the one who's watched them all with me too. She's seen every one that we've watched so far.
That is true.
Reviewed.
I'm not gonna lie. What am I reviewing? Some of the ones we saw too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, you guys are like horror film pals. You guys can go watch movies with each other all the time at the theaters.
The spooky ones
where I'm like, nah, screw you guys. I'm that bullshit. Right. Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us tonight, Rachel, on the darker side. So let's get into our news stories here. Forrest got a couple of them. I got one. Obviously, Forrest has got one. We've got some real fun stuff here. So the first story that I have for you guys is the headline on the story says, Ohio, naked man on crystal meth bites 28 people in a Walmart store.
What? 28 people?
Yeah, I mean... How does one get a chance to bite 28 different people?
Well, it is Walmart.
I mean, it is Walmart. This is true. This is very true.
Oh, my God. Fucking Walmart.
In Ohio.
Super true about that, for sure. Oh, my God, yeah. So it says, Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland. A naked man caused quite a commotion in a Walmart supercenter this morning when he randomly bit dozens of customers while barking and screaming. So this happened, I doesn't actually have the date on it, unfortunately.
Wow.
But it says, 29-year-old Michael Kruger entered the store naked and visibly intoxicated around 9:30 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, my God.
9:30
I just have to mention, the name is, it fits the profile.
Oh, my.
Freddy's younger brother or something.
It fits the profile, I'm not going to lie.
He immediately began running around the supercenter, jumping on some of the customers and savagely biting them.
Oh my God.
Ruth Davis, an employee who witnessed the attack, said that the aggressor looked like he was possessed or infected with rabies.
What?
She quotes, he was running around naked like a maniac. He was drooling a lot and biting people. He looked like a rabid animal. The Walmart employee says that Mr. Kruger kept making strange sounds and saying incoherent things. He kept barking like a dog and yelling stuff about the Vatican being out to get him.
Oh my God.
Mr. Kruger bit a total of 28 people. Again, everybody, 28 people.
That's an insane amount.
Yeah, but how many people are there at 9:30 in the morning on a Walmart? I mean, again, it could have been a Saturday. Could have been super busy.
But if it's
a weekday, you know, to get your single moms and your elderly.
Yeah.
Yep.
This guy's crazy. Yep. Mr. Kruger bit a total of 28 people and lightly assaulted a dozen others before he was finally arrested by the Cleveland police.
What does lightly assaulted mean?
Pushing them around, maybe. Like, barking in their faces. Or, you know, just being crazy.
Oh, my God.
It says none of the victims were severely injured, but there is a slight risk that they may have contracted some disease from
the aggressor.
I hope not. I mean, obviously we don't know if he's got transmitted disease or HIV or
AIDS.
I seriously hope that these people that were bit did not get any kind of serious diseases.
Yeah,
diseases
in
general. We hope, obviously.
I'm just going to go to the store and pick up some milk. I'm
going to bite you at the Vatican. It's after me.
Come back with AIDS. Herpes.
Michael Kruger told investigators that he spent the entire night smoking crystal meth and had decided to walk to the Walmart to get some food. He explained that he had taken off his clothes on the way to to get rid of the spying equipment the Vatican had planted on him and was biting people to make sure they're not Terminator sent to kill him.
Terminator sent to kill? Okay. May I say something?
Yeah.
So there is such thing as it's called meth psychosis. It happens to people who use meth. It floods their temporal lobe with dopamine, which the temporal lobe, I'll mention this again later when we discuss, you know, the other thing. But yep. Where was I? That part of the brain is responsible for fear and aggression and rage.
This guy is like, and paranoia, obviously,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
So
wow.
So he's basically smoked enough meth and probably a repeated smoker over and over again to where that part of the brain is totally affected.
Yeah. He has no clue what he's doing.
So no, because the psychosis is real in his brain due to the abuse of this drug.
Right.
So he actually thinks that the Vatican.
Oh yeah.
And this that these other people are or could be Terminators after him for sure.
So fucked.
Wow.
So fucked up.
So it says Mr. Krueger's lawyer demanded that he undergo a psychiatric evaluation before the beginning of his trial.
Shocker.
He faces a total of 47 criminal charges and a maximum of 240 years in prison for these crimes.
Wow.
Crazy. Cleveland. Ohio. I mean, that could happen anywhere in any of these. I mean, meth, crystal meth. I mean, it's not super huge here in New England like where we are at, because we got a huge opioid / heroin problem. But I mean, we've got our meth heads too.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, I would have thought this came from Florida.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Sounded like something that would have totally come from a Florida Walmart center. Although this guy would have ended up shot, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Probably with a bullet in his head.
Texas.
With the laws that they have there. But anyway, man, that's a crazy story. What a fun way to start this one out.
Hell yeah.
And a cool way to segment to a later segment with this psychosis here.
Oh yeah.
More now, to come.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah.
Now, Forrest, you got a new story for us?
Oh yeah.
I think you got a juicy one, don't you?
Yeah. It's, you guys I gotta embrace myself, to be honest. Okay, so an 18-year-old woman with necrophilia fetish had three-way sex on the corpses of two men who she and her sexual partners strangled.
What?
So these people are mass murderers and also have a necrophiliatic fetish.
And had three-way sex on corpses of two men that they all, I guess, helped out and killed.
So she has two male partners in this?
Sexual partners, yeah.
So two sexual and murder partners.
Technically, I guess.
Because if they were all involved in the strangulation, then they're all involved with the murder, and they're all... So it's like a team murder.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's like a murder group. It's like a pair. Like you see... I guess just recently there was a killer pair in America that just got caught, and they've, under their belt, apparently have a ton of kills, but we don't know about these things because they were probably killing transients and whores and shit like that. But, so this is a team kill and sex fetish
combo.
Threesome. Some kind of weird... polyamorous dark fetish.
Yeah.
Well, hey, at least they have each other.
And I.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. I mean, you literally have to strangle someone, and then the only way that you can get off is to fuck them on their dead bodies.
To fuck someone alive on their dead bodies.
And as of right now, I don't know if the men have the same thing. Maybe one of the guys does, but according to this, it's just really the woman that has this necrophilia fetish.
Yeah, but if you are engaging in the acts of the strangulation and the killing of these people, you're fucked up too.
Yeah.
And I mean, and if you're gonna, you know, Eiffel Tower this woman, I guess that's what they call it when there's two dongs involved. If you're gonna do that to her on top of the corpses of these bodies.
Yep.
How do you stay hard if you don't like it?
These are young men. What are their ages?
Yep, right here. Joshua Minor, 24, piled the bodies of Eric Glover and Terrence Rankins, both 22, together and placed a beige sheet across them so he and his longtime girlfriend, Elisa Massaro, could lie together on top of them at Massaro's home in Joliet, Illinois, according to police reports.
Wow.
Minor told police he remembered years back that Massaro had told him she wanted to have sex with a dead guy, so he hoped to fulfill part of her fantasy, according to these documents. Adam Landerman, the 19-year-old son of a police sergeant, may have joined Massaro and Miner's sexual romp as well, the report says.
Wow. The kids of police are the fucked up ones, too. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, that's why it says may have, because his dad's a police sergeant.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. So yeah, daddy's really a cop, so this little fucking pervert is going to be taken care of. Yep. He's going to get
cash.
He's going to get anything. If he gets anything, it'll be a slap on the hand. And
yep.
Because daddy's the fucking local sheriff or whatever. Bullshit white privilege.
Oh, my God. And it's just, let's see. And then Masaro grinned when her boyfriend asked her to have sex and initially declined. Later, though, she admitted that she agreed to it. McKee told police she believes Landerman joined the sexual acts as well. She said Landerman was a follower who only did what Miner told him, according to the report.
So Joshua Miner's the boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and Landerman is the third wheel.
Yeah, the supposed daddy's a cop, so he might not ever have any part of this investigation whatsoever.
The try in the pod.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then supposedly Joshua Miner piled the bodies of the dead men together and invited his girlfriend Masaro to have sex on top of them. Adam Landerman, 19, possibly joined in as well. And then Bethany McKee, 18, allegedly lured the victims to her friend's house with the promise of sex and video games.
I like sex and candy.
And then,
who's that lounging? It's a fucking dead guy!
And then the corpses elicited a zombie noise, a final gasping sound. The bodies also evacuated their bowels.
Ooh, my sexy. Awesome.
Super sexy.
So sexy.
I like getting it all on a pile of dead guys with shit and puke coming from them. Give me some of that.
God. And then
rotting flesh and poop are my... Oh, I love it.
And then right when you think it gets bad, they hog-tied the victims' hands and feet together with dirty clothes and an electrical cord.
That's crazy, dude. I don't think we need to talk anymore about this. We know that these people are ridiculous. Obviously, they're being charged with the murders, and some of them are being investigated, and investigated.
Yeah.
She'll do time, he'll do time, but... Like I said, the other guy will probably get a plea and a slap on the wrist, and he'll still get to go to the police academy. He'll get to be a cop, and then he'll get to perpetuate the madness that is.
The cycle.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Forrest. That was a great story.
Oh, thank you.
So right there on the darker side.
I'm not going to lie. That was actually a lot darker than I was
expecting. That you were expecting? Well,
funny.
It's a fun story.
Yeah, that was awesome reading.
Freaking necrophilia.
Got the chills.
Mass murderers. Unbelievable. All right, guys, it's Creepy Pasta Corner. A little bit of limp linguine, a little spooky spaghetti. You guys ready for this?
Let's hear it.
All right. This one I got right here is called, let's see here, 9-year-old Edward in the Shadow Man.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
Which is another good segment into our, what we'll be talking about in a little while here.
Oh, shit.
It reads like this. August 13th, 1921, Professor Hubert Clayton, Children's Ward, St. Mary's Children's Hospital, Fife, Scotland. Dear Professor, my trusted friend and mentor, I write to you in the hope that you may advise me on a matter of urgency concerning a patient of mine. Edward is a boy of just 9 years who arrived with his mother 6 days ago with a disposition so positive that we did not at first admit him. This did not last long. Edward claims that 6 days ago, while playing in the garden, he became aware of someone or something watching him. He identified a shadowy figure like black ink with large circular eyes and elongated limbs. Edward described that while it resembled an owl, it spoke as if inside his head with the voice of his recently deceased father.
Oof.
The voice apparently told Edward that it would come to him in 7 days to take him to the desolate plain. A place name that I am unfamiliar with. Its mere mention brought Edward into a fit of hysteria. His condition has deteriorated quickly in the last few days. The boy has become convinced that the shadowy figure has returned and is moving closer each time towards him. The delusion appears to have some connection to mirrors and glass, both of which Edward has banished from his room. I write to you, Professor, because on the final night of Edward's imaginary deadline, I went to check upon the boy and found that he was not alone in his bedroom. I could discern only two things in the morning light, each of them a sight I shall take to the grave. First, a figure whose retracting limbs crackled like broken wood as it moved into the shadows. The second, a look of such tragic countenance etched upon the child's face that none could suffer it and be unmoved. I heard your voice from the shadows, emanating from two round eyes that glinted and lost themselves like waves upon the black sea. But it was not your voice, Professor, and I write to you now because Edward passed away this morning, and I am no longer alone, even when I believe myself to be.
Ooh. Oh.
Faithfully, Dr. George Booth.
Dang.
Holy shit.
Chills every time. Every time I read one of these stupid creepypastas, I end up getting chills.
Feeling it right now.
But I mean, it's crazy. Obviously, you know, now it's kind of like a Harvey type of situation. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen the movie Harvey.
Oh,
Harvey's Elwood P. Dowd is this character who sees this Pooka. Pooka is an old Irish folk crypto mythological creature. Is like a fairy.
Hmm.
It's kind of a trickster at some points, but it also can be very benign and helpful at the same time. Except this is the complete darker side.
Mm-hmm.
Opposite. Where it etches on to one person, convinces them that they're going to take them in 7 days, and then repeats the cycle with another person. So it's like this person whom this person admires and loves and cherished is this professor. So this creature spoke to the doctor in this professor's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's telling him about him. So what's now going to happen? Where do you see this going? This professor will probably be then chased and destroyed by this person. So it's like this crazy, cyclical, dark, twisted...
Wow.
Creepypasta.
Creepypasta.
I definitely... I got the chills. I'm not gonna lie.
Fucked up for Folly.
Yeah, wow. I mean, but that's what creepypasta... Creepypasta is meant to do that to us.
Sure is.
Fuck yeah.
We love our creepypasta. I love just put some creepy sauce on that pasta and we're all good.
I feel like as a movie, this would totally be way scarier than The Ring.
Oh, yeah.
Well, The Ring, Ring's similar, pretty scary.
Similar.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. So tonight's movie, our episode 3 movie that we're going to choose is something that came out back in the 2017 days. Release date of September 8th, 2017. This movie was called, and still is called because it's still out there.
Yep.
It. We're going to do a little movie review of the newest Stephen King version of It, Part 1, technically, right?
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's kind of at the end they give you that little... Come back for the next part, because
yep.
We're not done
well,
yet.
Everybody has seen the original. We all know that it's a two-parter, so I mean...
Right, right.
Yep.
Now we're just waiting for this scary, creepy clown to come back.
So, again, this is Stephen King's wonderfully crazy, fucked-up tale of It. I'll give you a brief synopsis. 7 young outcasts in Derry, Maine... are about to face their worst nightmare, an ancient shape-shifting evil that emerges from the sewers every 27 years to prey on the town's children. Banding together over the course of one horrifying summer, the friends must overcome their personal fears to battle this murderous, bloodthirsty clown known as Pennywise. So this film, guys, just to let you know, got a 7.5 on the IMDb's and got an 85% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
Yeah, 85 for that.
Higher on Rotten than seems like an IMDb.
Yeah, like, which is always the case. You know that. I mean, we complain about IMDb all the time.
Really? See, I feel like Rotten Tomatoes can sometimes be the opposite.
Yeah.
Really? So far, every one of the movies that we've reviewed have had a higher tomato rot.
That is a good
tomatoes,
point. That is
know.
A great point.
Because, I mean, if you're basing it off 100 and... a 10 scale, I mean, 7.5 is obviously lower than 8.5.
But Rotten Tomatoes can also be very stringent with their...
Especially horror movies.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
in that totally. Genre, they're very tough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're all desktop critics anyway, so we're all critics. I mean, we're doing a movie review here, so obviously if you don't know the story of It, It starts with the disappearance of some kids 27 years earlier, but they don't really know. Then little Johnny fucking waterboat.
Georgie.
Okay, Georgie. Even my son knows his name. Georgie. I can't remember his name, but my son can. He's five.
Georgie.
He hasn't watched the movie yet, but he's definitely into the darker side.
Just like but, his mother.
Yeah. But Georgie gets taken away, and what's his brother's name? You guys remember?
Good question.
Either that way, so his brother ends up seeing this it ghost, this creature, this demon, this clown, and so don't these other kids in this town who are being haunted by this clown in any which way, shape, or form. So you've seen the original, and we've seen the new one. Did you like the newer one better? Obviously, I mean, in my personal opinion, I did. I liked it visually. I thought the clown was actually more freakier. I was more terrified by the actual creature.
We also live in a world now with much better special
effects. Yeah, of course.
And visual
trickery. Advanced technology.
So yeah. To do that kind of thing back in, what was it, the 80s?
Or 90s, I think.
Early 90s?
Yep.
90s.
It wasn't easy, but now a lot of it's CGI and can be edited.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I mean, in that respect, yeah, I think it's better. Obviously, mm-hmm. It's visually better. It looks better. I thought that the writing was good for it, too. I think this screenplay was a little bit, obviously, more Hollywood. It was better. And I mean, this was we're also talking about a made-for-television series, too, mm-hmm. So... This one obviously got an R rating, right? It was rated R.
Yes.
I think so, yep.
I mean, it kind of had to have been. There's some crazy shit that happened in that movie. But that being said, I think it was darker and it was a little bit more visually pleasing in that respect. Story-wise, yeah, I think it was just as good, if not better, than the original. I did have a couple issues with it, but what did you think of it?
Which Skarsgård played... It,
the younger brother, the youngest, the Skarsgård brother.
I always mix him up.
Yeah.
Anywho, so he had driven around L.A. with his clown makeup on, rehearsing the laugh for weeks before they started filming. So I think that plays a lot into it, the fact that he put that much effort into becoming this creature that it really showed.
Yeah, and he apparently developed that smile when he was a child.
Yep.
I mean, we all know that smile. We've seen it. I mean, obviously the makeup adds to it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, he was spooky.
Yes.
He was really, really good. And that I liked it. I think, what did you think of it, honestly, Forrest?
I actually agree as well. I feel like it was definitely better than the original. Creepier, scarier, everything, like all the aspects of the film, writing, directing, screenplay, you know, editing. And cinematography, I thought it was amazing. I know John, you know, my fiance, he jumped a few times throughout the whole movie, and it takes a lot for him to even jump once.
Right. I will attest to that.
Why were you there?
No, we've just been to movies together. John's like, man, that was stupid, yeah, and it was like the most horrifying thing I've ever seen. But yes,
well,
so
here,
for him to have a reaction like that, that's a good sign.
I can I can agree to that, because I obviously have seen the movie and there were some really interesting jump scare moments. I think the first one where he jumped out and like you really had that first jump scare moment.
I know exactly
that one got me. Mm-hmm. But every one of the ones after that, I'm like, it didn't affect me, and I wasn't as scared of Pennywise by the end of this half of the first movie. As I was as a child, probably, and here's my thing, the fucked up crazy world that we live in, where we have access to all the horror and the beauty of the world at our fingertips, I feel like I'm maybe a little bit more desensitized to the crazy jump scare, or because of also the amount of movies that we watch, the spookiness, the shit that we see.
Well, that, and it's a reboot. So you know.
Right, I know the story.
You know what's going to happen.
So I thought it was visually better. I thought the story was a little bit more deeper. But in the end, I also felt like it didn't scare me as much as I thought it was going to. I, like, laughed at most of it. That's kind of sick and twisted, but I laughed at it. I'm like, huh, this is... funny.
I'm not gonna lie. I thought at least a few of the jump scares throughout the movie, I felt were completely unpredictable. But I mean, that's I don't know. That's how I felt. But only a couple. And then yeah, you're right. Towards like the end, I definitely felt like, even though there were some creepy moments towards the end, I still felt like it wasn't as scary, I guess. But it, overall, like, I jumped so much through that film. It just,
yeah, and
it got me.
I also think that, again, these new modern movies, they market it, and they put out 4 trailers for a movie, and mm-hmm. the way they edit it, you end up seeing most of the jump scares, or the parts leading up to these jump scares, and you know that it's going to happen when you go to see the movie.
Yeah,
you know, that might be part of the reason why we weren't jumping out of our pants or shitting our pants in the theater.
Right.
Again, that, and also we could be just desensitized to this type of morbidity and violence as well. So
that's going to lead you up to big with music and sound design.
Yeah,
right.
That kind of thing. So if you hear it, you're like, oh, I know something's coming.
Right.
Even though it might be very mild, it's still a sound that is leading to a climactic experience.
Right. I thought that the story was a little bit more richer, too, in regards to the character development. Mm-hmm. I think you felt more for the kids in this one. At least that's how I feel.
Oh, yeah.
But it might be just because of the way it's done in cinematic format versus a made-for-television format. But the writing could have possibly done it, too. I mean, obviously, Stephen King was behind this. He thought it was, you know, a good representation. You know, and then there are obviously parts that couldn't be put in the film unless you wanted to make it an X-ray, you know, X-ray movie. We all know those, that part that we're all talking about. Everybody knows. If you don't know, read his book or do some research on the part that didn't make it in the movie.
Yeah, I read somewhere.
We're not going to go into that part.
I read somewhere that the movie was technically was supposed to be an extra like 25 or 30 minutes, but
you know, you get to take out that segment, and then you get the kid from Stranger Things playing in that movie, and then he goes back to Stranger Things and he's all saying the fuck words and shit like that. I don't know. You know, the lore behind this new movie and the characters and everything is kind of fun. And it's fun and exciting to see a reboot of a classic like that.
Oh, yeah.
In a cinematic format.
Definitely.
Done by, done really well, in my opinion. So we do, Rachel, on this, we do what we call a 4-word best review. Okay. So with your best, with four words, you know, give us your best review of the movie. We could start with Forrest so that you get an idea of this.
Okay. Let's see here. Just really fucking awesome.
Yeah. There you go. That's 4 words. It's a good one.
Fucking awesome.
It's a good one.
All
right. Rachel?
I have a good one. I it my pants.
I it
oh
my pants.
Oh my God, I like that.
we kind of think very similar in this respect. mine is, can you dig it?
Nice.
And yes, I can. That's 8 words technically, but that was just an answer to my 4 word. We also give it a rating based on a numerical thing or a grade. Forrest, what do you give this film?
I'm not gonna lie, I'd give it 9.5 out of 10.
9.5 out of 10,
yes.
Huh? Wow.
Very well crafted.
Wow, yeah. That's not bad. That's a good rating. Rachel, what do you give it?
I'm gonna say an A-.
Yeah, I was gonna say also an A-, but that's out of 75 trillion Blurzarks.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that's a lot.
Yeah, it's an A- out of 74 trillion Blurzarks.
Okay.
Blurzarks. So great movie, I think. Honestly, go check it out.
Check it out.
If you haven't seen it, you need to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
And if you don't want to see it, cool. But that's our review. That's the darker side review of the movie It. All right, so we're going to move into a segment that we like to call here, Deeper into the Dark Side. This is a segment where we hit a topic, you know, as big and as hard as we can. This week we chose shadow people. We were alluding to this earlier in a few things with the creepypasta and then with the meth head story.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of on, you know, coincidentally, we hit upon these, but so shadow people, if you're not familiar with them, are these, they're also called shadow persons, a shadow figure, shadow being, or black mass, is the perception of in your mind of a patch of shadow as a living hominid figure, particularly as interpreted by believers in a paranormal or supernatural as the presence of a spirit or other entity. So, like, you're sitting there in your living room, you're alone, and out of the corner of your eye, you perceive something that moved, mm-hmm. that you knew was a shadow or a human figure.
Oh,
then
wow.
you look and there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or where you wake up and at either your doorway or the corner of your room, there's a figure standing there staring at you. And you think you can tell it's a figure because it's a little bit more darker than the rest of the shadow in the room. Or it has features like arms or a head or wears a hat or has yellow eye, or not yellow, but red and orange. They've said that
mm-hmm.
those are yeah. the two colors that they could associate with it. There are a few different types of shadow people that people have talked about and discussed. And if you do some research into them, there are different types of these shadowy figures, these shadow people. And then if you could delve even deeper, there are these groups and then these people who discuss, well, what are their intentions and what are they? Are they a figment of our imagination? Are they extra dimensional beings? Are they watchers? So I guess one of them are the aggressive shadow people, the shadow people who you feel are either there to attempt to harm you or want to harm you, such as like you waking up in your bed kind of in almost like a paralytic state,
mm-hmm.
or
sleep paralysis.
Or they could say this is a cause of it, but
yeah.
you can't move, you can't scream, and then there's this figure either over your bed aggressively trying to get near you or in the corner of your room just staring you down. You know, you get this overwhelming fear of, oh my god, what's gonna happen. I've had a similar situation in my life with a sleep paralysis situation, but it wasn't a shadow figure, it was an old hag, which is another
with the sleep paralysis
where I've had an old hag woman on my chest screaming at me and there's nothing I could do.
Oh my god.
Woke up one morning, it was the most terrifying thing ever. And then you got these shadow figures that are similar in this situation. Then you got the red eyed, as we were talking mm-hmm. about.
Mm-hmm.
People say that they're aggressive and they're watching you, they're menacing, they have like this demonic presence to them, the aura, the feeling. They've got these people have claimed that they're hooded shadow people that they see, they're walking through the house or in on the streets. And then what they do is they get a hateful feeling from these shadowy figures.
Yes, it's a very
dreadful, hateful, exactly. They got the Watchmen style, which, you know, you could say are like a gray, like the grays, like the alien grays type of watchers, people watching you. They're benevolent, they're not there to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
They're just watching, like either from another dimension or another planet, you know, nothing. They are watching you. They don't care that you know that they're there and they're not there to hurt you, but they're just not going to interfere with you. They're just there to watch.
Right.
There are a couple theories on shadow people too.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that in a second. Obviously we'll let you delve deeper into that with your psychological background.
Oh, I love
here.
It.
Nice.
Let's see here. They're the mist or smoky shadow figures. If you go online, you'll see a lot of photos where people have captured these types of creatures, where it's either like a misty ball in the background of a photo, or you see them as an orb, or there's just like cloud moving through your space. There's a couple interviews on some different podcasts with people discussing these. I think Astonishing Legends did a great job with the shadow people.
Yes.
And then a subsequent story after that.
Mm-hmm.
They did a great job of this, where you can hear some really interesting interviews with those types of people.
Wow.
Who've actually dealt with these types of entities. You got the elusive shadow person, like I was saying before, where you're out of the corner of your eye, you see a human being. And this happens to me all the time. It could be from sleep deprivation, being tired, but I see these shadow figures out of the corner of my eye almost on a nightly basis.
Yep, I've seen them too.
And though that might actually be something that we should be concerned about. But they're elusive, and they just walk by you, and all of a sudden, you're looking at me like, what the fuck was that? And nothing was there. You look in the you go in the kitchen, you know, nothing. They don't want to be seen. They don't care that... They're not there to hurt you or anything. They're just elusive. They're just...
Hanging around.
Hanging out in the shadows, trying to get through their day, whatever it is that they're doing.
Hmm.
And then there are shadow animals, which I've also seen in this house. I've seen a shadow cat. We haven't had a cat in this house since a year after we moved, and we've been here for quite a while.
Wow. Yeah.
And I see a cat in this house a lot.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All the time. It's crazy.
Right in this place.
But I've never... This is not like... This is house, like,
oh my God.
This house isn't... We're not dealing with any, like, want to hurt you spirits or entities right. in
they're
this
just
house.
Around.
They're just here. Yeah. You know, we live on Earth. Earth is fucked up. It's crazy. Like we were talking before on our first episode about these heightened areas of paranormal activity and spiritual, you know, spirits coming out and all these other paranormal type situations. Why isn't there could totally be a crossing of interdimensions or different planes of existence, like the beyond or the before? You know, I mean, we could be interacting with these types of people on a daily basis and not knowing it. And these shadow people could be that type of situation.
See, my question...
Like an interdimensional?
Like an astral traveler or an interdimensional traveler.
Right.
Or they're grays or some other entity from another planet.
Or even it's just like the multiverse.
Right.
Our universes are overlapping for a quick second. And like some guy in another universe is walking around naked in his kitchen. Yeah. But he just so happens to walk by my living room. As a shadow figure.
Right. Oh, because you can't see him clearly. It's just the bubbles on top of the bubble.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that type of situation. Or there's these interdimensional creatures that can go between.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And either can create a hostile environment or an angst or some sort of hateful feelings and try to make you go crazy. Like, their job is to fuck with the dimensions and humans. Right. But this, you know, That's the paranormal or the cryptological explanation to this. There are many theories, and Rachel is going to hit on some of these theories as to how it could happen without the existence of paranormal activity.
Right.
Rachel?
So, the funny thing is about the Shadow Men, it's such a huge cultural influence. Mm-hmm. It was seen on The Twilight Zone back in the 20th century. There was an episode that was dedicated to a shadow man who lived under a character's bed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we all grew up with these stories, and we all know, like, ooh, it's a shadow, it's scary.
Well, there's also, like, biblical representation of these characters.
Yep.
Whether they be angels, cherubs, demons, you know.
What happens is when our brains manifest these images, it's usually due to sleep deprivation, some type of delirium, or a stimulant psychosis, like drug abuse.
A.K.A. methamphetamine.
As I, you know, talked about prior in the Walmart incident, people who use meth experience hallucinations due to a huge release of dopamine into the temporal lobe, which is the part of the brain that is responsible for fear, aggression, rage, etc. So what happens is when your brain is overloaded with this type of hormone, it manifests in a hallucination. Now, we could just be sitting on the couch, and it could happen. But a lot of the times that everybody knows, sleep deprivation can also lead to hallucinations.
Oh, I've seen some crazy shit just being mad tired. The first two years after Elliot was born, and I was up late nights with him, and, you know, you getting your rest and everything, and I'm getting 2-3 hours of sleep, and then I got to repeat the day again. I was like,
"Oh, geez."
Yeah, I was seeing like the asshole.
Demons. No. I'm not making you look like the asshole. I had night shift. You had day shift. That's the way it went. But I was like, those first years where he just couldn't get him to sleep or anything, and we were not getting any sleep at all.
Ever.
The two of us. And at the end of that, like, second year, I was out of my mind. I'm like, I gotta find a way to get some fucking sleep, because I was seeing shit, hearing shit. I was depressed. It was crazy. The mind, you know, you don't give your mind the proper rest, then it can do some crazy, fucked up, amazing, but sometimes brutal things.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
But that's how you get to see these shadow creatures, is when your brain is just, it's too tired. It's like, nope, fuck you, I want to shut off. Here, yep. Look at this, ooh, scary thing in the corner.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it produces a
dopamine.
Dopamine release, mm-hmm. which can create hallucinations. Hallucinations.
But it's in the specific lobe of the brain that is responsible for fear.
Yeah.
So when you see these things, your brain is telling you to be afraid of it.
So then you get like an adrenaline rush, right. and a spike in mm-hmm. all other chemicals, adrenaline, etc. that spike this fear.
Exactly.
This fight or flight response.
Exactly.
Where your body just goes, what the fuck was that? Yeah. And it freaks you out. And then you can build in paranoia if you continue to see this. And especially if it builds up over time, right?
And that's where like that cultural influence comes in. It's like, oh, I know I saw something. So that was meant, but it must have been a ghost.
Right. It's not that you're tired or that you smoked crack or something.
No.
You
know? No. No, none of that.
Speaking of like that situation where you were talking about the psychosis there, a psychiatrist, Jack Potts, suggests that the methamphetamine usage adds to a conspiratorial component mm-hmm. to the sleep deprivation and hallucinations. One interviewed subject said that you don't see shadow dogs or shadow birds or shadow cars. You see shadow people standing in doorways, walking behind you, coming at you on the sidewalk. These hallucinations have been directly compared to the paranormal entities described in other folklore.
The other thing with meth is it's a stimulant. So people who use it are awake for 72 hours at a time.
Can't control.
So of course they're going to start hallucinating.
Especially in these heightened states of being awake and then also completely and mentally deprived.
Exactly.
Of the rest and the nutrients that they need in their body. So mm-hmm. they're getting these massive hallucinations of these figures, and then again the paranoia mm-hmm. builds within these people, and the perpetual cycle has got to be maddening.
It's all linked together.
And it's got to be maddening 100%. And I mean, it's crazy that we can do that to our brain with either these types of drugs that, like you said, create that dopamine response, mm-hmm. and then or the sleep deprivation and these other things that we do to ourselves, whether we do intend to do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
That can create these paranormal. And I guess, I mean, that's a great. There's a great balance to this type of story.
Yeah.
The shadow people, where there's the element of the spooky, the supernatural, the out of this world that drives us to them.
Well, like you said, like when you wake up and you see these things, are you still asleep a little bit? And it's just your mind playing tricks on you because you're kind of still dreaming, kind of not. Or are you really seeing
is
something?
There this creepy fucking thing hanging over?
So then that's what happens. You're like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm seeing is real. So now I'm going to get scared about it.
Right.
Yeah.
And now I'm really scared about it. And oh my God, now I'm going to die.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. There was sometimes, you know, because I work really late with my other job. There were some times where I only got maybe like 2.5 hours of sleep. And I'm not joking. This is at our place right over the border in Connecticut. When I, you know, the house is completely dark usually when I get up at 4 a.m. to go to work. I like to keep it dark just because sometimes, you know, the moon comes in and you can just see inside, so it's fine. One time I went into the porch to put on my boots, work shoes, boots, whatever. And I swear to God, I looked up and I saw a dark figure in the door.
You probably did.
And then, like, I don't know what I did that next. I kind of just freaked out. And the next thing I know, I look back, and it was completely gone.
Well, here's the thing. You did see it.
You did see it.
Whether it was the sleep deprivation that caused this hallucination, or it was this other being standing there. I mean, you can go either the scientific side of this, as we were saying before, as I was trying to get to earlier. Yep. You can hit it from the scientific side, like Rachel gave us that amazing description about it. Or from the paranormal side. And there's... It all depends on what camp you want to be in. You could be the libertarian who sits in the middle, or the centrist who sits in the middle and goes, well, it could be both.
Yep.
I like the idea of it being both. I do.
I know I've seen things in my life, as you guys have.
Oh, yeah.
I have, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Whether I'm losing my mind, whatever, that's the point. But I've also experienced the sleep deprivation. Where I've started to see shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like crazy shit
absolutely
happening that makes no sense. And you're like, what the fuck? Blah, blah, blah. But to be able to be okay with it being either is fine too. Like, oh, it's just that's a scientific explanation for that, or oh, it's just my dead grandma. It's fine.
Right. Or it's some gray or some interdimensional creature.
It's all about how you react to that.
Yep.
Well, it kind of has to be.
As a personal.
Or else you end up biting 28 people at a Walmart.
I know.
Because they're after you and they're all Terminators.
From the Vatican.
The Vatican's after you. Oh, God. Jeez. Yeah, so, I mean, that's a great way to get out of this topic, I guess. Again, the paranormal, the supernatural, it's always fun to discuss. And Shadow People, I thought, was a fun episode to introduce you to Rachel and to this side. We haven't necessarily discussed anything supernatural yet.
I love it.
But I think it's a cool topic, and thank you for giving us all that insight
Thank you for having me, guys.
No, I really, really, really enjoy it. So we've got one more segment here, Rachel.
Okay.
We're going to sit here for a few minutes, and I normally wanted this to be like a 2-minute thing, but Forrest is, because he's got to give you a little bit of background, and then he's going to give you the rant, has now become...
I try to be as quick as possible.
It's like a 3 or 4 minute segment. But, but this segment right here is what we like to call Getting Lost in the Forest. It's a segment where Forrest rants about whatever's chafing his ass.
Getting lost in the forest.
This week. Yeah, getting lost in his mind. He takes a topic, whether it be, you know, equal rights, etc., and he brings it to you hard. He gives you his passion and his fire, and this is getting lost in his brain.
Ready?
Let's do it.
I'm ready. Okay, so today we have a story from the Daily UK. A Democrat has risen up to challenge the Republican who called school shooting survivor Emma Gonzalez. As if you guys have heard of, she's a, you know, the one of the survivors.
This is his main, the guy from Maine?
I think a congressman running, I think, in Maine, or maybe, I think so, right?
But what did he call her?
He, so basically he called her a skinhead lesbian.
That's nice.
A skinhead lesbian from this politician.
And I think he said he wouldn't listen to anything that she had to say either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so... This Democrat, who maybe also might be running, Leslie Gibson, was the only person in the District 57 race for a place in Maine's House of Reps when he lashed out at the bisexual head of Emma Gonzalez, Stoneman, Douglas High School's Gay Straight Alliance. Together with fellow students like David Hogg and Cameron Caskey, the 18-year-old activist has prompted a tidal wave of public sentiment in favor of better gun regulations following the shooting in Florida, which killed 17 people. There was something else I wanted to read in this description. Gibson reportedly, in his 60s, targeted the teenager, as all brave people do, through his Twitter account with 74 followers.
So what's shaping your ass about this story here? Let's get lost in the forest.
It's just, for one, it's pissing me off, mainly because, I guess she's reportedly bisexual, and he's taking a shot at, I guess, their LGBT alliance at the school, which, I mean, I'm not going to lie, you take a shot at something like this, you take a shot at almost all of us.
Well, he did call her a skinhead lesbian.
Yeah. He called her a skinhead lesbian.
To the public.
And he basically said that no matter what she had to say, good or bad, he wasn't going to listen to her either way.
Yep.
That's what I read in an article.
From a politician running in this race, okay? Keep in mind, an adult guy who has supposedly a lot of knowledge and a lot of, I guess, I don't know, he has a lot of energy for this kind of thing. With everything going on, though, in the last couple of years, with nationalists, all these movements with nationalists and the alt-right and all this bull crap, he comes out and says something like that. I think that's extremely
He is a Democrat a Republican from Maine.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about Maine, their governor is also a very sick, twisted...
Oh, yeah.
Hates the gays, hates the beautiful people of this world, the people of color. And he's a bigot, too. I mean, why not follow in his footsteps? He got elected.
Yeah.
I'm going to say these crazy things. on Twitter to his 74 followers.
Yep.
First off, he's a fucking winner, dude. You know, if you want to talk about it like that. I mean, no, he's a fucking piece of shit.
All right, what else does it piss you off?
I mean, not just that. You know, the fact, I mean, it kind of, I guess, correlates a little bit with what we were just talking about. The thing is that, I mean, this might be just a generalization, but I think those followers that might have been on Twitter, I think they would still vote for a guy like that because evidence has shown over recent, with what's been going on recently, I think what's been evident is that his followers in that particular party, I don't know, they just feel like it's needed or something, and they will just put the party over all the Americans at any kind of, I don't know, consequence, at any kind of chance they get. So I feel like maybe a very small amount of them might be like, well, this is kind of awful. Why is he doing this? But I highly doubt most of them are going to be like that. I think they're all just going to vote for him and say, fuck it. This is America. Get used to it, bitches. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it upsets me because this young girl, Emma Gonzalez, she and many other mass shooting survivors, they've seen things.
Right.
And these politicians, I mean, yes, they have knowledge, so I'm not trying to denounce them. They've seen a lot of things, brutal things happening. And when you see shit like that, I don't think you're ever going to be able to get that stuff out of your brain for the rest of your life. It'll be in your nightmares. It'll be when you're sleeping. It'll probably haunt you at some point psychologically. You know, it ruins lives, families, and I think that our government isn't taking it as seriously as they should.
Yeah, man, I totally agree with you. And Forrest, thank you for giving us your passion, as always, on these topics. These rants. I appreciate it. I enjoy it. I mean, I like what the deeper story in that whole concept is that there is no compassion. They're not looking at these people as humans. They're not seeing anything unless it's dollars and cents to get these people elected so that they can write legislation for the people who are giving them their dollars and cents.
Yep.
I mean, that's all I see it as. There's a good, I read an article, I just saw an article about this story 2 days ago, is that because of that tweet,
yep,
that gentleman was running unopposed the whole time. Because of that tweet, someone has now joined the race and is going to take him on.
Awesome.
That's amazing.
Isn't that fucking sweet?
Holy shit.
I don't know her name. It's a female.
Awesome.
She's rising up.
Nice,
she's
even
gonna,
better.
She wants to talk. You know, she's going to take him on that congressional race. And that to me was awesome. And when I saw that.
Hell yeah.
When I brought this up today, I'm like, I can't wait to say that. But
nice.
Yeah, man. But he's finally got, you know, somebody to take him on. And hopefully the smart, compassionate people of Maine will vote the right person in.
Oh, yes. I hope so. We'll see.
I think the other thing that it's been angering a lot of people is that Sandy Hook wasn't that long ago.
No.
Nothing was done
in
terms of you know, law passing and gun control or anything, really. And then, so now there's more children that are dead, and people are sick of it. I mean, as a parent,
we all are.
It's terrifying to send my kids off to school.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I would too.
Who knows? Yeah. Anybody could walk in there and blow up the place.
Even just going to the movies, too.
Exactly. It's any public place now is, you shouldn't be scared to leave your house. And I think people are finally, especially these young kids, whom I'm very proud of.
Me too.
Because they now have a voice.
Right.
And they're speaking loud. And keep on going at it, because it's awesome. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm super proud of these people.
Fuck the haters.
Fuck the haters.
Fuck the haters.
If you hear more about that, my other podcast, Kevin and I, talk about that subject in an episode. So check that out. So basically, at this point, I thought we had a great episode, guys. We hit some really dark, awesome things. We talked about a lot of interesting things. The movie It. This was fun. Had a lot of fun. Thank you, Rachel, for joining us
today. Thank you for
having
me, guys.
We're definitely gonna have you back for future episodes.
Awesome. Just be careful when you go shopping at Walmart.
Yeah. those sleep deprived meth heads could be out to make sure that you're not a Terminator. And, you know, think twice about what that shadow figure was before you go out and call the cops.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Because it could just be, you know, any type of thing. As always, people, everybody, thank you very, very much for joining us here on The Darker Side. Again, it's the topic, the podcast where we discuss the darker parts of our existence. And I think we did a wonderful job of doing going over that tonight. I'm David Pottle. You can find me on Facebook. You can find my band Frenemy Providence. That's Frenemy, Frenemy Providence on Facebook and all the other social medias. I have another podcast with my Kevin Spurl, who is the host of the Life, Relationships, and Everything Else podcast. Please check that out. Like, subscribe to that one. Always, as always, come back, follow us, like, subscribe, share with your friends. Please comment and rate us on iTunes. If you do, we get, you know, more likes and more views and more listens and everything else. That's me. You can find me on those things.
Forrest. And I'm Forrest. I want to thank all you guys for listening, and I want to thank you, Rachel, for being here today, because it's an amazing time, and it
Thanks,
really has
guys.
Been.
Guys.
Oh, you're welcome. you can find me on Facebook, Forrest Smith, the two R's. Don't forget that. You can find me on Twitter. You can find my small little business right now that I'm doing, Forrest Films, on YouTube, Facebook. There's some other places you can find me. And so you can see that. Don't forget to check out our Darker Side podcast pages on Facebook, SoundCloud, WordPress, iTunes, sooner or later Spotify, we're on Twitter, all that good stuff on the interwebs. I'm glad to have you guys all here, and please rate us, subscribe, all of us, everything in between. We love conversation, we love everything, we love creativity and darkness.
Rachel, get anything?
I just want to say thanks, guys, for having me.
No problem.
Thank
you.
I had a lot of fun.
Oh, we loved it.
It was very interesting. And I can't wait to come back.
Good. Excellent. All right, guys, again, thank you for delving into the darker side with us. And peace and love, everybody.
Peace and love. One love.
Darker Side.
Darker Side.
Podcast.
Darker Side.
Hello, everybody. This is Dave from the Darker Side podcast coming at you. Right here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you or give you a clip of the other podcast that I frequent and co-host, Life, Relationships, and Everything in Between. You'll be able to find a link to this episode and to the iTunes page where you can like, share, subscribe, comment, do whatever you like. But here you go. This is with the host, Kevin Spurl, and I. We're talking about the pharmaceutical industry. Is a couple-minute clip here, everybody. Hope you enjoy it.
In this episode, in this topic of discussion for tonight, this is going to be a two-part series, actually. So tonight, we're going to be talking about pharmaceutical industry as it pertains to and relates to the healthcare industry. And no taxation without representation is a good segue, because I don't see how, in a country as developed as ours, in a country where you have hundreds of millions of Americans who go to work hard every day in, day out, just to live paycheck to paycheck, people working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and we're all literally just one health scare or medical condition away from bankruptcy and even potentially the grave.
Oh, yeah. 100%. In this country, you get the people who are, we need a free market. We need to have an open market so that we can pick our own health care. And we need to, the only people who I see that are making this argument are people who, one, already have or can afford health care. Mm-hmm. And two, the people who are given health care by the taxpayers, who are writing legislations to make profits off of these industries.
Right.
Those are the only people I'm saying that are making this argument. That and the libertarians. But they're libertarians, so, we give them that, that little space there.
My position might be a little bit far-fetched, but I feel like if you have ever worked a job, and you look at your paycheck and you see things like FICA, you see things like Medicare, you see things like state income tax, you see things like Social Security, and you see things like unemployment. These things that come out of your paycheck that you have no control over, it, before you even see a dime of your hard-earned money, there are these deductions. And
yeah, 25% at that point.
Yeah, and I'll stipulate to the fact that, yes, a lot of the taxes that we do pay do contribute to the lifestyle that we as Americans are afforded. But let's be honest, a lot of it we never see. And I personally don't feel that anybody who works and who pays back into the government should ever have to worry about how they're going to pay for medication if they get sick, or how they're going to pay for glasses if their child needs, you know, a prescription for eyeglasses or contacts, or, you know, if something happens and you can't work and the healthcare, the...
All right, everybody, there you go. There's a clip from Life, Relationships, and Everything in Between. Hope you enjoyed that. Please, like I said, like, subscribe, share with your friends. That